Jones.
That's the best show of all time. I'm just saying, you just started, but I'm on the season four. Like, don't act like I'm not in the game.
Here we go. You're live.
We are live at the Aftermath Studios with our special guest, Jose Rodriguez. Jose Cheeto Jones Rodriguez. And on the ones and two, my man Joe Reese over here.
Getting
down today. How's everybody doing?
Good, man. Good.
Jose, how are you?
I feel freaking great, man.
That's good.
I feel great.
That's great. Before we get started, I want to thank a couple sponsors real quick. I want to thank Affordable Electric. It's affordable, right? We also want to thank MLP Mortgages, Eric Orris, Mortgages for Less, and as always, Isagenix Superfood Nutrition. And we're rocking it today. So today, podcast one, we're going to break down the aftermath at the Myth, talk about some fights, and we're going to talk to Jose and see how it was to get in the cage for the first time. So, Jose, why don't you say a little bit about yourself? Tell the people who you are, where you're from.
Jose Rodriguez from West St. Paul, Minnesota, born and raised. I'm a wrestler, MMA fighter. Yep, that's what I am. I don't really think I'm anything else.
So, for the people that don't know you, how long have you been wrestling?
All of them are. Oh, yeah. 17 years.
17 years.
17 years.
Okay. And you wrestled at Henry Sibley in high school?
Yeah.
Talk about your high school career quick.
It was great. Awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was just really good. Really good. Really, really good.
Okay. Two All-State performances and then went on to be a college All-American.
Yep.
Talk about your time. You were... at Iowa Central.
Oh, when I was at Iowa Central, that was probably the peaking point.
Yeah.
The Iowa style, that stuff was the best. I don't think it ever got any better than that. That's when I started to peak.
Okay. So there's been a lot of guys that have come out of that school. Let's talk about some of them. John Jones is actually out of Iowa Central. Colby Covington.
Yeah.
Who else do we have? Cain Velasquez.
Yep.
And there's a cat out in Iowa right now.
Aaron Mitchell.
Yeah. He's a stud too.
Tommy Peterson
is another one. National
next
champ.
Biggest star.
Jose Rodriguez.
Oh, man.
I already know. So, you know, for those people that don't know, Jose had his first fight with the Aftermath at the Myth. He's a Young Guns fighter. Talk about the first time walking to the cage, because not many people understand walking to the cage and just that experience of having all the people out there.
Oh man, it was definitely something to remember the first time. It's like when I walked out, I wanted to be serious, like, you know, have a poker face. You know, some people know I meant business. I walked out and I hear everyone screaming and just couldn't stop smiling. It was probably one of the best moments of my competitive career, like how I felt after winning, but that was it right there. That felt the greatest.
Yeah. Okay. So how were your nerves? Because every time I stepped in the cage, I know I can beat this guy.
Right.
You're nervous as hell.
Oh yeah.
How were your nerves playing off for you?
I was really nervous, but not for the fact because of who I was fighting, just because it's my first time in there. But as soon as I walked out, those went away.
I saw that. I saw the smile on your face. It was kind of making me laugh, just because it almost seemed like it was a joke to you. And yeah. I know it wasn't, but it almost seemed like you were kind of laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah, no, like I said, that was probably one of the most amazing experiences that you can have for me as a competitor. And that was just great. Had all my family right there, had all my fans, people there, you know, screaming and shouting my name, people throwing up the West Side. I'm like, oh shit, no matter win or lose, someone's getting beat up. So,
okay. So real quick, we got to talk about this West Side thing.
Okay.
The Dub Smack. Let's talk a little bit more about the Dub Smack, because number one, it seemed like 80% of the people were there for you.
Right.
It seemed like you had a big following already. And I know that comes from your wrestling background. But the dub smack, what the hell is the dub smack?
So, Nate Diaz, he has a Stockton slap.
Okay.
So I'm from the west side. So I threw up the west side and decided to smack his ass with it. So I was like,
he has a dub smack. That was actually one of the best moments of the night, the dub smack. And I'm going to tell you, the crowd went crazy.
Yeah.
The crowd went crazy. So what's next for you?
I'm going to be wrestling in some tournaments, the NDSC Open, maybe the Rochester one. I was thinking about going. I mean, just for sure wrestling, competing until I have my next fight at some time. I'm not sure yet, but
okay,
sometime within the next month.
Okay. Okay. All right. How did it feel after the fight? How'd you feel?
Oh, I was jacked up.
Yeah.
I honestly was going to jump on top of the cage. I'm like, man, I wanted to. I was like, should I do it? I'll fucking do it. And I was like, no, never mind. I won't.
No, you most definitely should have.
I know.
You didn't win the Olympics yet, right? So
No, not yet.
That's coming. First fight. Yeah, it's coming. So we're going to break down some fights today. I'm so happy to have you here to help us break these fights down. It's always great to have a fighter's perspective.
Right.
So we're going to break down some fights today. My man Joe Reese over here is on the ones and twos, and he's going to bring up some fights. Joe, what do we have first?
Let's go with which one you want to do first here. Should we do
the guy with the biggest heart?
Should we do the Joey Hart?
Yeah, that's right.
Where's that already?
Look at that handsome guy.
Is that me?
No, that's me, I think.
Oh.
And that was McCoy and Max Bradley. That's one we'll definitely have to show. That was a fight of the night. That was an amazing fight.
I don't have the other one queued up yet. Let's go into Cheeto's fight real quick.
Going to Cheeto's fight.
All right, we'll go to Cheeto's.
We're gonna start with yours, Jose. So how do you like this Bia energy drink from Isagenix?
This thing is so good.
It's freaking good.
I can't stop moving right now.
I know. I feel like, I don't know how I feel. I feel energized.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still calm. But I know it's, I like it. So this first fight we're going to watch, and we're just going to kind of break it down for you. This is you, man. This is you coming out. We're going to take a look at this fight. Joe, are we going to hear any, commentating or no?
The audience can hear
it. I can't really hear it.
Here he comes. This is where you're laughing like uncontrollably.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's your nerves or what it is, but it was. It put a smile on my face to see you laughing so hard.
Oh man, I don't even know how to explain how that felt, dude.
So what is it like having Brock Larson in your corner?
Oh, much more confident.
Much more.
Much more confident.
You know, he's cornered me for a few fights, and you know, one time I was in an armbar, I think I was about to get my arm broke. And I looked at Brock, and Brock said, "Don't you tap! Don't you tap!" And I was like, "Okay, well, I guess I'm more scared of Brock than I am this guy."
So yeah, don't tap.
You're gonna have to break it, and then I'm gonna have to try to beat you with my other arm. But yeah, there's.
So what are you thinking right here? Like you're about to go into the cage, about to step foot, first time going up these steps. What are you thinking? What are you feeling?
What am I thinking? I was thinking like, it's my time. Let's go. Like I was ready to go. That's why I started slapping my legs. I do that. I always do that. That's how I get my mind right. Then this guy started talking to me. I was like,
Do you remember what he told you?
Not a thing. He was like, I think he told me, "I love you, Cheeto." I was like, "I love you too." And he's like, "Very good." I said, "Very good."
Now the ref here, is that Rob Medjo? No, that's not Rob. Okay, so this guy's got he's got some.
That's the dub smack right there, where the dub smack came in.
Okay, right here. Stop it right here. Now, right here, it looks like he hits you four or five times with uppercuts.
Not once. He didn't hit me once.
Okay. that slam was crazy.
Yeah, got you in the. He almost got you right there. He almost got you.
Were you nervous at all?
Heck no.
No?
Okay. No, he didn't even have the other arm locked. And that's why I stood over him when he had it locked. He didn't have the other arm or anything. So that's why. And then I'll just slam.
It was a great transition to full mount.
Yeah.
Throwing some haymakers here, connecting. Referee hops in and stops it.
That's it.
Yep, then I was jacked up.
Boy, you were pumped, weren't you?
Oh, man, I'm getting pumped right now watching this shit again.
So, not many people know this, but the actual fight that we had for Jose, the guy got hurt a week before, which is something you deal with in the fight industry.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to fight, and honestly, William stepped up. And he's a boxer, and you got to give the guy a lot of credit because he stepped up to fight an All-American wrestler. And, you know, as a boxer, you're always going to be nervous as a wrestler because a boxer stance is wide open for a wrestler.
Yep.
And it looked like you guys stood and banged for a minute, and that was that. It looked like you controlled the fight the whole time.
I agree.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
So that is Rob Major. He's actually a UFC ref.
Have you ever seen an amateur come out to with like some kind of crazy stuff on like that?
You know, in my time, I have a lot of the guys we
have. You? With, oh, okay. Yeah. I never have. So I'm like, well, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm just gonna do it on bucket.
But I'm gonna tell you right now, that's what's gonna separate you from everybody else in the game.
Right.
Okay. Because Everybody does the same thing.
Exactly, exactly. I don't want to be that person.
No, no. That's what's going to brand your fighting career.
Right.
So, one down, many to go. Let's talk about training out at Start while Joe pulls up another video with Brock Larson and those guys. How is it? I mean, those are the toughest mofos around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. Those guys, they all know how to scrap. They're there like 3-4 times a day, every single person. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, these guys like living here.
They take it seriously up there.
They 100% do.
And I'll tell you, and I tell this to all the wrestlers, from a wrestler's perspective, there's not a better coach that you could find in the Midwest and maybe in the U.S. than Brock Larson. He is the perfect coach for wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, it shows it because the kids, they went, was it 5-0?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all won.
Yeah, and that's how they normally do. When they walk into any fight, they normally come out 5-0, 4-0. I mean, all their guys out there can go. Brock Larson has a gym in St. Cloud called Start Jiu-Jitsu, and that's where Jose trains. And what do you got next, Joe?
I'm still trying to queue up the other one here.
Oh, okay.
Issues.
So after the fight, how did it feel? Was everybody coming up to you talking to you?
Oh, yeah. I took, probably 100 pictures.
Yeah.
A lot of most of my family, but and then a lot of people I didn't know.
Right. Coming up to you, got some new fans.
Mm-hmm. It felt good.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely felt
so good. You have one boxing fight. Did you like it?
Yeah, I love boxing. Yeah. That's more of what I enjoy. Like, MMA is what I'm better at and what I like most.
Okay.
Because obviously in my wrestling background. Yeah. But boxing is, I would say, is second to that, but I just really enjoy it. I love throwing my hands.
So the one thing I will say is getting to that next level, they want to see you put on a show. They want to see hands thrown.
Yep, 100%. No, I agree.
So that's good.
Yep. And that's what my plan is for my next fight. Let him go.
Let him go. That's good.
Let him go.
And not many wrestlers think with that caliber. Not many wrestlers want to
stand in bang. They just want to go to where they're comfortable at.
Where they're comfortable.
But I want to be comfortable at every single position. You know what I mean? That's why straight out of college, I went straight into boxing right away. Hit you up, bam. Yep. Next week later, I'm in the boxing gym. Mm-hmm. They're like, they looked at me when I first, they said, throw a jab. And I threw a jab. They're like, yep, he's a wrestler.
Now, funny story, because I had the honor to coach you in high school. Mm-hmm. A funny story is, the first time I saw you fight.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Shout out my boy Jake Erky. Jake, you're watching this.
So just to fill everybody in here, you and Jake, we were all, you know, you guys were teammates.
Yep.
And something happened between you two, you know, wrestlers.
It just happens.
Wrestlers fight in a wrestling room. 100%. That's just the way it is, yep. You know. And that's the worst thing about getting into it with a wrestler is wrestlers are dogs. You know, yep. And they've been grinding since K, yep. Pre-K, mm-hmm. You know. And sometimes wrestlers fight in a room. There's punches thrown in the wrestling room.
Oh. All the time, almost every practice that I was central, I was fighting somebody.
Right.
And, it, you know, it stayed in there. As soon as we were out of there, you know, that's just practice.
That's
just
practice.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. And you were a phenomenal athlete, and Jake was a bigger guy.
Yeah.
You know, you wrestled like 189. You were probably in the 40s.
145, yeah.
Yeah, 145. And obviously, you were a better wrestler than Jake.
Yeah.
And you didn't try to wrestle him. You tried to throw hands with him.
Yeah.
And it might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I remember you telling me, like, you want to know what you look like?
And, you know, as coaches, you know, you let them throw a few. Yeah. Hey, you guys break it up. Yeah. You know, let's get back to work. And, you know, and obviously you and Jake after practice were just fine. But you've come a long way. Your hands are sharp and you've come a long way since.
Oh, yeah.
But that was one of the first times we saw you fight. So
yeah. Let's talk about this Bobby Lee fight.
Bobby Lee, this is one of our main events. Yeah. This is a great, great fight. He fought, what's his name? From
Zach Shaw
from Michigan. Yeah. Yeah. Out of a real tough camp, Scorpions out there. James David Taylor. And this was our main event. And I thought Bobby controlled the fight really, really well. I don't think he was ever in danger. And again, Zach Shaw's a tough dude.
Yeah.
No, he's really tough.
Yeah. As soon as that lands, I'm like, God, this guy's ripped.
Yeah, those guys in Michigan, really good bunch of guys. And Bobby's a redhead, so I'm, you know, redheads are something you have to be scared of.
What would you say Bobby's strength is? Because he seems pretty well balanced from what I seen that night.
Yeah, so he was a wrestler in Becker, Minnesota, I believe, and I don't know how great of a wrestler he was. But I'm telling you, he's one of Brock's guys, and he's probably one of the next guys to go to the UFC from Minnesota. I mean, dude's just an animal. Oh, we lost a little coverage here. There we go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He seemed pretty, I mean, he got caught in a couple little situations, and, I mean, he was out of them very quickly, you know? I mean,
he just controlled
the ring. Yeah, like I said, he seems just balanced. He can look like he can throw some punches, look like he can get you in a freaking chokehold if he needs to.
Yeah.
I mean,
and again, that's those guys out at Star Jiu-Jitsu with Brock. They're tougher than the rest of the field. And, you know, Zach Shaw controlled Bobby, you know, on the ground. It looked like he may have been a little bit better of a wrestler, but Bobby's jiu-jitsu, it allowed him to stand up and get out of those situations every time he was in one.
I think it's right here. He gets on top. Oh, yeah, right there. I was like, uh-oh. I thought he had it. I was like, uh-oh. And then he got out of it. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, redheads are like mutants. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't hurt them.
Yeah.
You can't hurt them, guys. I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight a redhead. I'm not going to lie.
No, Zach Coates, I had to wrestle with him.
Oh, yeah.
In high school.
Oh, yeah.
This dude was like, I don't want to wrestle with this kid anymore.
Yeah. If I have to fight a redhead,
we'll find you another fight.
Yeah.
And another fight. I'm really surprised how fast that ended. And that shows you the jiu-jitsu of Brock's guys. And did he catch him with the head arm triangle here?
Yep, right here.
Yeah.
He stepped to the other side.
Yeah. If you've never been
in one of those.
Done.
That is a deadly move right there.
What did he cuts say something afterwards?
All your oxygen.
Yeah. I think they.
Yeah. Well,
I think there was a lot of respect between those two fighters. I think there was a ton of respect, actually. Bobby's just a good dude overall.
Yeah, I agree.
Very humble, very tough.
So was his first time headlining?
Looked like he was saying.
Yeah, this was his first time in the main event.
Ooh, it kind of looked like he said something mean.
No, I think he was. Bobby's not really like that.
I know. Actually, I don't know.
There's no showboating about him. He's just a fucking grinder.
Talk a little bit about just the Minnesota fight scene. You talked about the respect between the fighters and different camps and whatnot. How many different camps are out there?
So you have the academy. The academy is basically where all the coaches now in the game have come from. The academy back in the day was one of the top teams in the United States. They had Brock Lesnar, they had Sean Sherk, they had Brock Larson, they had what's his name? Mike Richmond was there. They've had Caitlin Young. She was an Invicta World Champ. They had so many superstars out there. And recently, the gyms now, the academy's still around. I'd say Brock has probably the toughest camp out there, especially for MMA. Chris over at the Cellar. Chris is kind of a hidden gem, and most people don't know this around the world. But from everybody that I know that has trained at the Cellar with Chris, says he is the best stand-up coach they've ever been around. So the Cellar is in Minneapolis, and that's another big gym, and Start Jiu-Jitsu. And then you have Oakdale, Spartan Martial Arts, Tom Schmitz. He's another academy guy. He's actually from the academy, Brock from the academy. And I think a few of the Cellar guys are from the academy. So the academy kind of paved the way for Minnesota, and it all started with Sean Sherk, you know, Minnesota wrestler, becoming UFC world champ. And after Sean was there, they got the guys like Brock Larson and then Brock Lesnar and Jacob Volkman. Like, how can I forget Jacob Volkman? And that's really it. There's not too many more on the Minnesota scene. There's a couple boxing gyms out there, Minneapolis Northside Boxing Club. And that's pretty much it right now.
Is it
a couple smaller gyms too?
How about surrounding states of Minnesota? Is it pretty, is there a pretty big?
Yeah,
scene?
For a while it slowed down in Minnesota because there wasn't many fights going on. We got out of the game a while ago, and it's kind of been dry. But the good thing now is that I'm tied in really deep to the wrestling world, and now it's all these kids that we've been working with since kindergarten are now out of college, mm-hmm. and I know the ones that can go. I know the ones that are built for this game, and obviously Jose's one of them.
You know who I always thought was going to get into MMA? Yeah. Dane Racer.
I think he wants to, and I think he should.
Yeah, I fought him, I think, like maybe almost every day.
Yeah.
Where we're at, I was central.
Yeah.
Almost every single day.
Dane Racer is, he's a tough kid. He's yep. definitely tough.
Well, what do we want to do? Cue up another fight?
Yeah, let's bring up another fight. What do we got here? Now, there's Sean Garcia making his debut in announcing. He did a fantastic job. What do we got here? Colin and Jordan. Mm-hmm. So Colin is actually one of Brock's guys. And Jordan, what's Jordan's last name? Clarence Jordan, I'm sorry. He's a tough wrestler. And, I don't think Colin's wrestling background is too extensive, but again, the co-main event from Brock's school just shows you how tough these guys are out there.
Yeah.
For a non-wrestler, I mean, he took Clarence down. He took his back, and he submitted him, and he stuffed a couple of takedowns. I was really impressed with Colin Huckabee. Again, especially to come in against these wrestlers and control a wrestler. Mm-hmm. When you're a wrestler, 90% of the time you control the fight. And it doesn't matter if the guy's better than you in jiu-jitsu. You're normally on top. And I don't know if Clarence ever got on top of Colin. Got a rear naked choke in here. He's got the body figure forward.
That's where he taps him out.
He does tap him out.
Not here. No, I remember watching this.
I mean, that figure four around the body is deadly. And if you have never had a figure four wrapped around your body, man, I'm telling you what, right now, you talk about taking the life out of somebody, put a figure four and lock it in around their body.
Yeah.
And it's...
And they can't breathe.
He's got a lot of length.
Oh, yeah, he's tall.
Yeah. I was training one time. I don't even want to say the kid's name because he's not tough. And I literally beat the... Okay. Anyways, we were training and he put me in a body triangle. And I swear to God, I couldn't move. And I'm like... How is this happening? And this is where, I mean, Colin just controlled the whole fight.
I think all these, every fight of the night was, I mean, some of them were quicker than others, obviously, but every fight of that night was really good, very entertaining.
It was.
I think... I don't think there's much argument that McCoy's fight was probably
100%.
I mean, that fight was a very, very good fight. Very close, obviously.
Right.
A lot of people said it could have gone the other way, you know? Probably could have, but, you know, the referee called it and the judge has seen it one way, right?
They did. And the funny thing about that, I'm glad you brought that fight up, because coming into the fight, I know how tough McCoy is. McCoy is a tough, tough kid. I've watched him wrestle since he was a little kid. And he's not a finesse wrestler. He's a grinder. This is the kind of kid that'll come in and just kick your ass for 6 minutes straight and get like a kick out of it, right? Yeah.
He'll get a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, obviously the judges felt the fight went one way. Is there any way we could put, when we show that fight, is there any way we could put a poll up and get the fan reactions? Can we do that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because that hands down was the fight of the night. I think if McCoy would have came in with a little bit more endurance, I think that could have, you know, and as I told him in the beginning, the only thing that can, you know, your worst enemy is your endurance, right?
100%.
You run out of gas and you can't go anymore. And that's what so many people don't understand. When your gas tank is out, you can't go. So who do we got here? We got Joey Hart,
yep,
and Josh Baxter.
Yep.
So this is another fight. Josh, decent wrestler, not much wrestling. Joey was lost his last two. I believe he's 4-2. And he lost to wrestlers, which surprised me that he was able to control this fight.
Right.
Having issues with that one for some reason.
Can't get that one up?
No, it keeps restarting on me. Anyway, let's talk aftermath a bit here.
Let's talk aftermath.
What do we got going on next, man? We've got the podcast. We got these fights.
We got a couple TV shows coming. We have reality TV coming. There's a lot more coming with the aftermath. So like and share this page with all of your friends, because we will be the source of Minnesota combat sports and entertainment.
Facts.
Got a comment here. Jose, you look pumped and ready for another fight. I think even the commentators said you hate to throw somebody into a fight right away after a match, but they wanted to see you, right? I think they had you on their show even, right? There.
Yeah. Yep.
The podcast.
For a trash talk or whatever.
Trash talk. Yeah. Trash talk. Great guys. Great guys. We had them actually commentate the fight for us.
Yeah.
And they did a wonderful job.
Yep. I'm glad they did. Nice me to be a part of their show.
Yeah.
They're nice, good guys.
Nice guys.
Definitely. Yep.
And so it's, I mean, you obviously made an impact even on them. I mean, they're very knowledgeable. They knew every tidbit of information about every fighter there. So you made an impact on them right away already. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, they were pumped. Listening to the commentating, they were pumped. Mm-hmm. They were fighting.
That guy in the background, my buddy Shig. I love that guy. Shout out my boy Shig Abdullah.
Is that that's the brother walking around with the shades all night, right?
Oh yeah,
that's your guy.
You know, we actually walked into a gas station before.
Yeah,
and the lady was like, "Oh, are you a fighter?" Because my ears.
Yeah,
I said, "Yeah."
That's my manager.
And, yep. And then she was like, "No, this must be your promoter then." And I'm like, "And I'm just." And yeah. Shig was like, I'm just like, Jesus. Because he looked the part.
He did.
He came in and started walking everywhere. I'm like, oh my gosh.
He did.
No.
He walked in like he owned the room.
Yeah, he did.
So.
Trying to pull up McCoy's fight. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Fight of the night.
This was by far the fight of the night. McCoy Tekots versus Max Bradley. I'll tell you what, I have a whole new respect level for Max Bradley. I really do, because I know how tough McCoy is. And I don't, you know, if you ask me, Max didn't win the battle, but he won the war. I mean, I guess that's the best way you can
put that.
McCoy, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they both kind of threw everything they had at each other, and neither of them was quitting, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, this fight was going to take place, and Max had to pull out because he was going to be out of town. So we found McCoy a different fight, and at the last second, Max came back and said he wanted to fight. Hmm. We talked to McCoy, and McCoy was like, absolutely, and they got it on. Did it come out?
I don't know why this fight keeps...
Because it's because it's the fight of the night.
I think so.
And it's the most important one.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. That was definitely, I was in the back room, especially when it's your best friend, watching it. And I'm like, I'm warming up. And I'm like, everyone's like, aren't you cold? I said, no, my blood's going right now because my boy's up there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
What's it like seeing, you know, guys that you train with, guys that you come up with? You know, you got that camaraderie, you've seen them fight, you know, different weight classes, obviously, and whatnot. But I mean, you're always rooting for them, right? You're always rooting for your homies. And
100%. No, it's definitely different. You know, it's almost like you're out there with them because you train with them, you do pretty much live, eat, whatever, all together. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, when they go out there, you just want them to do well. You don't want to lose enough, so.
Oh, it's nice to have people like that too, who are going after the same goals as
exactly,
you.
Exactly, exactly.
Keep each other in check too, you know. And you know, once game day comes, so to speak, you guys just go out there and have each other's backs.
Yep, that's what we call payday.
And in that would be the most important thing that I would say to any young fighters. There's a lot of guys in the past who were extremely talented and didn't really go as far as their career could have taken them because they never trained with a team.
Mm. Right.
You know, a lot of these guys will try to get just a couple buddies together and this is our team, this is where we're going to train. And it's so much more than that. You need a good jiu-jitsu coach, you need a good stand-up coach, you need a good wrestling coach, you know, and you have to mix all three together. And most importantly, is you got to have the bodies. You got to get different looks. Right. You know what I mean? So, one of the most important things I tell people is they have to train with the team. You know, brings me back Joey Clark, one of the toughest dudes around back in the day, Jay Clark's brother. Joey and I wrestled together coming up. Joey was super tough, super tough. Just never went to the next level because he never trained with a team. You know, he had a couple guys that he trained with. I mean, Brock Lesnar is another guy. He trained at the academy a lot, but I think after he won the belt, he just hired some dudes to come up to his gym and train. And, you know, I don't know if that was the best route for him. Obviously, it worked out. He was a world champ,
right.
You know.
You can't take that away from anybody. But it's just very important that, you know, and I know he'd go down to the academy before
fights and get ready and work with Greg Nelson. But
having that team is so, so important when it comes to growing,
just like wrestling. You know, how good are you going to get in a room full of puds?
Nah, not really that good.
You know what I mean? And if you're in a room full of puds, you got to seek outside. There's wrestling schools out there, 3D wrestling, mm-hmm. Pinnacle Wrestling, where you can go and get better.
But other than that,
you're not going to get too much better if you're the best in the room.
Right. That I agree 100%.
Yeah, we're having issues with that video for some reason.
Which one?
The McCoy. One with McCoy's fight and a couple others after that. But we've got, let's see what we got here. Oh, this one where they...
okay, this might have been the most blood I've ever seen in my life.
Obviously, insane. Very technical strike.
It was shooting. It was straight
away. Was it really?
It was outside of the cage, on the tables.
Every time he would take a step, it would squirt up. Blood would literally squirt up.
There was a puddle of blood in the cage.
Let's see if we can... It was within the first few seconds, too, that...
What happened? Like, did he just...
So he threw a leg kick, and he checked the leg kick, and...
The dude checked it?
Yeah, and he blew a vein or something in his foot. His name is Noah.
Right there.
Oh.
And he's already bleeding. You can see he just slipped on it.
Yep.
He almost fell on it.
Looked and he's like, what the hell? And he doesn't care.
No.
And that guy's a beast.
He is. And he wanted to keep fighting. He didn't. Look at that blood on his foot. That is unbelievable.
He took a few kicks again with the same foot, and the blood flew across everybody at ringside.
Did he just kick again?
He just kicked again. Look at that. His foot
is
covered in blood.
I think that was definitely the most blood I've seen in
a cage.
In a cage, yeah.
Dude, that guy's
in
tough.
Any fight, even in boxing, just the like.
It was like the Sean Sher BJ Penn fight. If you remember that,
it was crazy.
BJ licked his glove from Sean Sher's blood.
I think at this point, I hopped away from
you. Did I was sitting right
Manning
next to you.
You did. So I couldn't switch over to the other camera because.
Because there was
blood all over me, all over the equipment, so I had to wipe it off. And
I mean, there's just a trail of blood every step he took.
The crazy thing is the ref didn't even really. I mean, he was so busy watching everything else up top.
Yeah,
he didn't notice the blood actually hopping down until everybody at ringside was like, "Dude, stop the fight."
And this dude's like, "No," Noah's like, no, "I'm fine. Let me fight."
That's one tough guy.
You know,
if that was me, I'm like, yep.
So people ask me all the time, you know, how crazy it is stepping in the cage, and
you have to have a screw loose.
Yeah, you definitely do.
I mean, you have to. You have to have a screw loose.
I think the doctor was like, this guy can't fight. His vein is severed. He's gonna possibly die.
The good thing is he's okay, and his foot is in a boot right now, and he'll be ready in six weeks.
Well, you know what's crazy is he wraps it up and back, comes walking out, not limping or nothing. Just, hey, what's up?
I think he was ready to fight again.
I think so. He didn't even want to quit. He didn't want the fight to stop.
Look at that.
Just wrap it up. Put me back out there.
Another day.
And you can't even see the other side of the ring where the ref is right now, but there was a pool of blood legitimately just sitting there.
This, like, that's crazy.
And I did talk to both managers. Those two want to run that back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it'd be a great fight.
I do. I like that guy's, not the guy that bled, but the other guy, his boxing looked all right. Like, pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I like the way he was jabbing and stuff.
Who are these guys here?
But Collins, a big guy. He's long. He's lanky. He carries his weight well.
Is that Clarence Jordan?
Is that Tito Jones?
No, oh, yeah.
That's Colin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Colin was even taking him down.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel when you're a wrestler that, and that's your strongest trait, and you can't?
He just took it from him.
And you can't wrestle with somebody. You know, Jafari and I talk a lot. Jafari from Cowboy Cerrone's camp, and
we talk about that all the time.
You know, what are you going to do if he takes you down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you get up?
How good is your jiu-jitsu? It was a packed house.
Yeah,
it was. Great party, entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, that was a fun time.
Won't come up. Well, let's talk a little bit about McCoy's fight anyway, since it won't come up. Okay, so hands down, the fight of the night. Okay, it might have been one of the best fights of this year that I've seen in the amateur levels. And again, coming into this fight, I thought McCoy had a really good chance because of his wrestling background and how tough it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it really showed the grit of Max Bradley.
100%.
Just hanging in there, picking his shots. And just, he was very calm the whole time. He didn't rush anything. He picked his shots wisely. I think as McCoy started to wind down towards the end of the second, Max Bradley kind of took a little bit of advantage at that point.
Yeah, and he's much more experienced.
Much more experienced.
McCoy's
first fight.
First fight, trained for, I think, maybe a month and a half, 2 months.
Month and a half, maybe. Yeah.
Just never did anything.
He's I'll fight this dude.
Yep, just wants to fight.
Yeah.
So just give him a month, and I think he can. He'll just.
Yeah. There is no doubt that McCoy will not be one of the toughest 145 pounders in the country if he continues to go. There is no, that dude is a dog.
Yeah, he has it. Whatever you say, you need to be MMA fighter.
Yeah,
a screw loose, whatever.
Yeah,
he's got it.
Yeah, he's gangster in the fight world. He's relentless.
Yep.
So, I think McCoy won the first round.
I agree with that one.
The second round,
I give that one to Bradley.
Probably to Bradley, right?
Yep. But I think McCoy won the third. I think.
See,
personally.
Now, I have to watch the fight again, but I felt like McCoy was running out of gas in the third. And I thought Max won the third possibly because McCoy, as you can see right here, he's trying to stay back. And obviously, Bradley's a great striker,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh.
But McCoy was just relentless with his wrestling, just picking him up and throwing him around. And honestly, if McCoy would have had
a little more experience.
Honestly,
right there.
I think if McCoy would have had his endurance up, I think it would have been a different story.
No doubt. If McCoy would have had his endurance, it would have been a different story.
Because even right here, look, he's gassed.
Right.
He fell on top of him.
You see, he did a great job trying to get the full mount, like right there.
Transition to full mount. He did great.
Oh, he's where
again, right here.
Yep.
He had it. So if he knew how to finish ahead of that
you
triangle.
See how he has it like this?
Yeah.
He needs to step behind.
Yeah. Yeah. So if there's a couple times he could have ended it. Right here is one.
Yeah.
And he just didn't know how to finish it.
Right. Yeah.
And then at one point he had him in a rear naked choke, I believe, and he didn't finish it. I will say after the fight, Brock and I met at the cage, and obviously these two are going to train together now, Max and McCoy. But Brock said to me, who do you think won? And I said, we both agreed it was a great fight.
But I thought McCoy won. And I said, well, what do you think? And he said, I think Max got him. And he said, I think McCoy won the first. I think Bradley won the second and the third. And I respect Brock's opinion, obviously. He's the godfather around here, you know, and he was right. He was right. However, in listening to some things, it was kind of funny.
Oh, my gosh.
How? You already know.
I know. Well, here's the thing. You were out there. I wasn't out there. I was.
And you were in the back.
I was in the back, and all I heard was banging. I'm just like.
So I did find out one of the judges trained with Max Bradley. Okay. I was like, well, that's fucked up. You can't bring a judge in that used to train with me. Not saying that it had anything to do with the fight, because I'm not taking anything away from Max Bradley at all, because dude is tough. Okay?
They got to run it back.
Well,
man. Oh, they're going to be teammates.
They're going to be teammates, and that's the hard thing.
That's crazy.
You know, and...
Oh, man.
You know...
They just might have to when they're professionals then.
It could happen, yeah.
You know, way later. That's a great thing because, you know, it could
definitely happen on the line again. But I just thought it was really funny that they had a judge who was an ex-teammate of this guy. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound fair.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to root for your boy no matter what. If it's close, you're going to go. However, the interview that I did see him in, he was like, well, you know, you got to be fair. And maybe he was fair. I'm not saying he wasn't. But I don't know if I would be comfortable fighting a guy that had an ex-teammate who was a judge, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you have too
many. We'll put an asterisk next to that one.
Huh?
We'll put an asterisk next to that.
Yeah. Another thing is, but that just, for any fighter, that just goes to show you can't leave shit up to the ref. Otherwise, that could go.
No, and the truth is McCoy knows that because he's a wrestler. And that's something that we teach from wrestling is you can't leave it in the ref's hands.
Never.
And it was left in the ref's hands, and
that's what happened.
Exactly. And that's not the first time he's going to fight somebody who's got a friend that's a judge.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
But by far the fight of the night. Now, the crowd 100%, I think, thought McCoy won.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 100%. Yeah, that's just.
And I even afterwards, I was trying to interview Max, and the crowd was screaming so loud, I couldn't hear Max. He was standing right next to me. You know, and he's talking on the mic over the loudspeaker, and I still couldn't hear him because the boos were so loud.
Yeah, as some guy told me.
It was crazy.
Some guy told me he seen something fly by him and hit the cage, and it was some guy's beer.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, what's going on?
Well, I'll definitely say it seemed like you had half the crowd there and McCoy had the other half.
Yeah, I agree.
It seemed like you guys really, really had a huge following. And obviously that comes from your Minnesota wrestling background.
100% does.
And your guys' popularity in wrestling, everybody knows who you guys are. You guys were in the top echelon of Minnesota wrestling. And what's that? McCoy, he's looking at U23's Greco.
He's going to be doing U23 Greco. He is he's going to be competing with us at the Bison Open.
Okay.
So we're going to take a trip down there.
Okay.
Our team and stuff. So we down there competing. And then whenever his next fight is, probably around the same time, if not the same time.
Okay.
We'll be both be fighting.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, the crazy thing is he just wants to get back in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm just like, well, let's do it.
Yeah. He's not quite the weight cutter he told me he was.
Oh yeah, I think if any wrestler tells you they like cutting weight, then they're crazy.
He's like, oh, I'm a champ at cutting weight. I'm the best weight cutter in the world.
Oh my gosh,
Johnny Alexander is like, don't have this kid cut weight. He sucks at cutting weight.
Johnny told me after, he was like, McCoy, you need to go 170. I was like, huh? I was like, holy.
Well, I do think 170 is a smarter weight at amateur for you and McCoy right now. Not worrying about your weight.
Right.
And slow, you know, if we can get McCoy a couple catch weights at 60 and eventually bring him down to 45, if he thinks he can make 45, if not, he just stays at 55.
Yep.
You know, but there can only be one king of 55. I don't know the way,
right.
The way his Greco is, he might pick you up and throw you on your head.
Oh, he has before. he has before.
That dude is...
This is the one thing. I got a different mindset than everybody else.
Okay.
I don't stop.
Okay.
As soon as your gas tank runs out...
You still going?
My gas tank could be gone, but okay. My mind still goes. Where your mind goes, your body follows.
That's right. Period. That's right. I agree 100%.
Just a reminder, we're gonna throw that fight on the Aftermath Facebook page with a poll for you guys to check out. I'd like to see what the audience thinks, who won that fight. Obviously, the audience at the fight thought it was different than the judges. So it'd be interesting to see what the Facebook audience says.
Yeah, controversial fight. It was awesome. That was.
I would not be surprised if it said like
real uneven.
Yeah.
You know what's cool though was even if the two of you did not bring, you know, the two halves of the crowd, by the end of the night, both of you had the entire crowd like in a frenzy. Right. You know,
I did talk to McCoy after and I said, don't hang your head on anything because you picked up a whole bunch of fans.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows how freaking gritty you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be a fan favorite around Minnesota.
100%.
I think both of you guys are. I think both of you guys are on a great track, especially training out at Start with Brock and them guys. You couldn't ask for a better gym.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Before we go, because we're coming up on an hour here and nobody wants to listen to everybody babble for an hour.
What? Really?
I kind of like it myself.
Me too.
What else we want to talk about? What else we want to hit on here? What do we got next? We talked a little bit about what you got next, Cheeto. We talked a little bit about everything the Aftermath is up to, what we got coming next. But within the next month, what can people look forward to, you think?
Well, we're going to be booking. We'll have some more podcasts. And we're going to be booking a couple of entertainment acts coming in to a couple different venues. We really can't say who we're looking at bringing in right now because other promoters out there will try and go get them for the music side. So a couple music things coming up, couple concerts, a couple things with the Armory. And we are looking to sign a deal with a venue. Really don't want to say where it is yet, but it's the Armory is going to be the place where every 3 months we do super fights. So we're going to grow this local talent around town because that's what's missing in Minnesota is people growing our local talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the last 12 years, not many people have been grown out of Minnesota.
Right.
And take these guys and build Minnesota up to where it used to be.
I love you too, Mama. That's you.
that's Mom. you're number one supporter.
Yeah, 100%.
More than anybody, Mama's always been there.
Mama's always been there.
Mama Bear loves her cub.
Oh, yeah. my gosh.
You touched a little bit about it with Aftermath. I think a lot of people haven't really taken notice yet because we haven't really pumped it out there too much. But when you look at the Aftermath page, it does say Aftermath Entertainment. So,
yes, sir.
You touched on it a little bit, but just keep an eye open and an ear open for
much more than sports.
Much more than combat sports coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jose, I want to thank you for being here today. Thanks for coming in studio.
Thank you, nephew.
It's always.
I'm just kidding.
It's always a pleasure to roll with you. Big things coming for you in the future. I feel it.
Your biggest
opponent is you.
100%. I agree.
You know,
just gotta stay focused, get ready, stay ready.
Yep. You don't have to get ready if you
stay ready.
That's right, my man. Yeah. You already know. Joe, do we have anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Everybody stay tuned.
Yeah, and thank you guys for tuning in, and you will see a lot more of us real soon. Yeah. We have some more
podcasts. We'll put up the link for the podcast.
Yeah, perfect. And we have some more coming up. So we will talk to you guys soon, and thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, buddy. Come on. All right.
Good? It's off. Is it off or is it still going?
No, it's off.
I can still hear.
Yeah, cuz.
Man.
Oh, now it's off. Oh.
This guy taking that off.
Oh, dude, yes. It's like some like airs are going on.
I know, I can't. How was that? Did we do okay?
Yeah. No, it was good.
That was good.